Hey, Paul, thanks for joining me, buddy. And I'm really excited about this, actually, because you've got one hell of a story to tell. But the point of doing this is you're just about to start a career as a life coach, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. I've signed up for a second course doing life coaching, NLP and hypnotherapy. And
Right.
it's going well.
Brilliant. And why do you want to do that?
I feel that to myself, the reason I want to do this is because I've been through a lot myself, as you very well know. And I want to be able to help people along the way, because people are held back by their own, their self-beliefs and the things that they put in front of themselves and make them worried about things. And life's too short to have all these worries. It can be finished like that. And we
Yeah.
need to make sure that we actually go forward and we make a sense of this life that we've got, because it is there for a short time, and we should make the best of it.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with you there. And what's interesting for me with you doing this stuff is out there's a lot of people that are doing life coaching skills and motivating people and giving them lots of information. And without being disrespectful to a lot of them have been on courses and learned this stuff, but haven't gone through the process of actually applying it in their own lives. Because I was reading a book recently by Greg Braden. It was quite interesting, and he was talking about universal principles of some of the ancient scriptures and civilizations. And one of the things they always used to talk about, one of the learning points, was you never learn anything completely until you've been through what they determine is the dark night of the soul. And you've had a few of those dark nights, my friend, haven't you?
Yeah, I can definitely say I've had a few challenging situations, let's put it that way. I've been through brain surgery twice. I've had a stroke, and unfortunately, I was severely impaired with COVID during that period. And
Yeah, I remember
it
that.
was coming out of those that gave me that sense of possibility, the understanding that you've got to have motivation, you've got to have that self-belief to be able to move forward, because otherwise anybody that comes to these situations has a choice. We can either carry on or we can fold.
Yeah.
We can let it go.
Yeah, no, absolutely, mate. And I remember when you had that injury to your brain. They told you you'd never walk again. Is that correct?
What happened was I had a fall. I practiced and I teach martial arts, and I had an impact onto the back of my head, which resulted in a subdural hematoma, which is a bleed on the brain. Now that was fine. It was dealt with. They drilled holes in my head. They released the pressure, and that was going well up until a time where I started feeling really, really bad, and it was a case of going back to the hospital, and they then did a CT scan, and they found that I had an aneurysm. Now, the aneurysm was not found because they didn't do a CT scan right at the beginning, because they did an X-ray, saw I had a bleed on the brain. That was it. It was done. So, at this point in time, or at that point in time, and still now, is we don't know whether or not that aneurysm was caused through the fall, or whether it was already there. For me, the bonus is I've got to look on the positive side for all issues, all areas. If I hadn't have had that fall, if I hadn't gone to hospital, they may never have found that aneurysm. So I could have died from the aneurysm. So I went back in. They did another operation. You can't actually see it, but I've got a big scar across here where they did what's called a craniotomy, and they opened up my skull and they clipped the aneurysm, so it's no longer a threat to me. But while I was on the operating table, I had a TMI, I had a mini stroke, which left me paralyzed down my left-hand side. And I think that's what you're talking about, is that self-belief. Now, when all of this happened, it just so happened, it was only a few months prior, after I'd sat on one of your courses, and that was
So I did it. It's my fault.
the NLP programming and all of that. So I had this knowledge in my brain that actually we can work with stuff. We have the ability to redefine the way we think, etc. So I started working on myself in the hospital, because I knew that if I didn't start processing and practicing the ability to walk, to get up, to move, then I'd just be struggling with it. And it did help.
So, so basically you came on a course a few months earlier, learned some stuff, NLP and hypnosis stuff and all the mind stuff that we do. And then you had this fall and they found the aneurysm and then you had the stroke. But what you did was take what you learned on the course and implemented it.
Absolutely, 100%.
Well, see, I was going to say, this is the point, and I think for anyone listening to this, is anyone can give people information. I mean, it's readily available, it's out there, you know, the internet's full of it. But what we find in business, as in life, is people don't implement what they need to implement to make things happen. And that's exactly what you did.
Yeah, and I had a strong belief that my destination, my direction had to be forward and upwards, because if I didn't, from the hospital bed that I was sitting in, the only view I had was going down, and I did not want to be going down.
So what was the prognosis that the doctors gave you at that time?
Well, they said that I may be impaired. They couldn't say to what great degree I'd have problems. I had what's called a minor spasticity of the hands. I could only use the hands slightly. I couldn't walk, so I was on crutches. I was on a Zimmer frame, then crutches. But I was determined I was getting out of the hospital. And when I did get out of the hospital, which was in December, they put me in contact with a physiotherapist to try and look at, working with both my movement, my arms and my legs, because it was hard to walk. I was on two sticks, two crutches, and I'll always remember going to the physio and on two crutches, and he sat there and he's had a quick assessment of me and he's read the files and everything else. And he turned around to me and he said, "Mr. Keats," he said, "right," he said, "where do you want to be in 12 months' time?" And I said, "Well, I want to be back to what I was beforehand." And I don't know whether it was because he actually smiled and had a little laugh similar to that. And he went, "No, realistically, Mr. Keats, where do you want to be in 12 months' time?" And I went, "I want to be back. I want to be as I was." And he said, "I'll tell you what we'll do." He said, 12 months' time, he said, "I'll have you walking on one walking stick." And he went out and he brought back these old men walking sticks, the old wooden ones.
Yeah.
And I looked at them and I said, "I am never, ever going to walk with them." And to be honest, I got a bit angry, not with him, but also with myself. And I said, "Look, I'll tell you what I'll be doing, where I'll go in 12 months or what I'll be doing. And I don't know where it came from." And I said, "I'm going to walk a mountain in 12 months. I'll be climbing mountains in 12 months." I've never climbed a mountain in my life, Mark. Yeah. So where that came from, I have no idea. And I'll be totally honest, I left there and I didn't go back.
You didn't see the physio again?
Physios. I started doing my own training. As I said, I've got a martial arts background, but I started with basic understanding of balance, and I pushed myself and I pushed myself, and I made sure that I was working with the way the brain works. That is, if I try something, it'll work to a degree. If not, it'll try and find a different route. So I did that, and I got started, and I started walking. And I think I picked up something on the internet at that time, which was the 22 for the 22.
Oh yeah. So
Matt, because you helped me, and we were doing that together sometimes. But that was a thing that gave me purpose and gave me a focus that I wanted to do these 22 days, doing 22 press-ups in support of the military. I'm an ex-military, ex-Navy rating. You know, you was up top, I was down below. I was a stoker, he was fleet air. Yeah.
We were actually on the same ship at different times, weren't we?
Yeah. We didn't know that, but we were. So I was doing it for Help for Heroes in support of the Royal Navy, in support of PTSD. And it helped me. It really helped me because it gave me a focus. And I found that you need to have focus in life. You have to have direction when you're dealing with that.
But the one thing that struck me in what you've said so far is with the prognosis you got from the physio and the prognosis you got from the doctors about what had happened. And I know about getting prognosis. You know, I mean, I had a heart attack and all they gave me was gloom and doom. And I thought, we're not having that. But going back to you, you had a belief that you'd be back to normal, despite what I'm telling you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then 100%. You found, and then
I
you
could
found,
see it.
Yeah, you could see it.
I could see it. You know, I had it in here. I had an idea. I knew where I wanted to go. And I went for that. And in all honesty, 9 months later, because I went to the physio in January, 9 months later in September, I climbed Snowdon as part of the 22 for the 22. So I ended up doing 22 press-ups on the top of Mount Snowdon, which is great.
Also,
but the ultimate end of it.
So, I mean, this is phenomenal, and this is why people should come to you as a life coach, because you've achieved this, but it's not this just this you've achieved. You had another setback as well, didn't you, after that?
COVID,
COVID.
I was in hospital for 3 months. I was on life support for 2 weeks. They actually said to my family that on two occasions that to get themselves ready because I may not make the night. And that was twice. And I do believe that the whole, for me, that incident or that whole process, again, put me in a position where I had to make a decision. You know, I was either going to live or I was going to die. Now, I'm not a huge believer in religion, et cetera, whatever. But I do think there was a stage there when I was ill that I had to choose to either carry on living or just give up and go. Again, it was that mindset. I wanted to be happy and I wanted to carry on. I actually remember a dream. Now, I don't know whether if it was a dream or it was one of those out-of-body experiences that people talk about, but I remember having a conversation with a person. And this person said, well, it's your decision. We can actually let you relive the best days of your life now. And this seemed to be like a way station, a waiting room.
All right.
And you can relive that, and then you get on the train. And I thought, oh, look at that, I'm not getting on the train. You know, I haven't lived the best day of my life yet. That's still yet to come. Yeah, and I strongly believe that. So I think that was when I had the choice of either going or staying. I decided to stay, and that set me off again when I came round after COVID, when I was understanding where I was. I'd lost 3 stone in weight. My body mass had gotten ridiculous. My muscle mass had been wasted away. So again, guess what I had to learn to do? I had to learn to walk again. So I learned to walk again. But again, I put the same principles into place that I needed a goal. I needed something to focus on. And prior to that, I'd just done marathon, the London Marathon. I'd done the 100-mile bike ride. In my head, I wanted to do a thing called the London Classics, which is doing the 3 main events in London. So running, cycling, and swimming. So I still had to do the swim the Serpentine. And I came out again in January from the hospital. And it's something about September. September that year, this is 2021, I swam 2 miles in the swim the Serpentine, and I got my medals. And I was so happy with that. But again, it's about having that goal. It's having that determination and having that understanding that things will get in your way. Things will become a challenge to you. You will have that self-doubt and being able to get past that and move forward. And that's all I want to do with other people.
Yeah. I think this can be applied to any aspect of life. You know, when people are going through a hard time, not just with their health, but in their business or in their relationships, or, I mean, like both of us, you know, when we left the forces, I know when I came out of the Navy, I felt totally alone and isolated. And that was a real issue for me. And sometimes you have to dig deep to make things happen. But you know, going back to your story, you know, you had this you had a fall, aneurysm on your brain, you had a stroke, you had to learn to walk. So you did all that, climbed Snowdon, did lots of brilliant things, and then you got COVID. And if I remember right, because I was in conversation with your mother, bless her, at the time, didn't they induce you into a coma twice?
Yeah, they actually put me in a coma there. They induced me twice into that. So I was on life support.
Yeah,
I was here where I had a tracheotomy. So yeah. I couldn't breathe myself. My lungs had gone.
I remember.
So they put all of that in. So I was on complete life support.
Yeah, and then, you know, you come out of that, had to learn to walk again, to redo the whole process. And then you swam the Serpentine to get your medals from the London Classics, which is a phenomenal story. You know, a lesser person would have given up. So what do you put it, if you had to sort of filter it all down to one thing that kept you going, what was it?
It was the will to carry on. It was the love of life. You've got to have a passion. You've got to have something to identify with, something that you want to be doing. I wasn't ready to give up, Mark, and I'm still not. So it is about actually having something that you want to move yourself to. The reason I'm starting this course, I started the first course doing the life coaching. In fact, I started the NLP stuff with you, you know, many years ago, 2014, before I had the aneurysms. But it was always something I wanted to do. So now I've got that focus and I really want to push that. And that's where I'm going to be. Not when, it's just I will be there. And hopefully sooner rather than later. It's all down to me now.
Well, I don't doubt it, because everything you said you'll do, you'll do. You know, and I think for people watching this, if someone watching this is stuck and, you know, they need help, you're in that place where you're experiencing the dark night of the soul. You know, Paul's a guy who's been through hell and back and yet has achieved phenomenal things out of it. This is why I think you're going to make an absolutely phenomenal life coach, you know. Because you've got the stuff that you can't buy. You've got the stuff that you can't learn, that people can't teach you, which is the experience of it. And it's that applied knowledge that you did and that the belief you had that you would walk again, the purpose you found in your life to do it, to bring you through all this stuff, you know, that you can instill into people. You know, it's a remarkable, remarkable story. And that's what's going to set you apart from all the other life coaches out there. Because, I mean, I've been teaching this stuff for decades, as you know. You know, I'm fascinated with psychology and positive psychology, how the mind works and everything else, and quantum mechanics and all that sort of stuff. And I talk about it and lecture about it because I believe that if people knew this stuff, it's going to liberate them. You know, and you're a walking, talking example of it.
I wouldn't have been even thinking this way if I hadn't met you, mate.
No, that's kind of you to say so, mate. But what you did was apply the little bit of knowledge I gave you, and you had that belief. You developed that belief and found that purpose that kept you going. That's priceless. So, when does all the life coaching stuff start then?
It's starting now. I've put out some requests for volunteers to work as case studies for me. I'm on the second month into it now. I've got another 4 months to go. It's going well. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm seeing different visions and different versions from the stuff I've studied before. And it's all a learning curve, but it's a positive learning curve.
So,
as in life, you've got to enjoy what you're doing.
So if someone came to you and they said, look, you know, I'm fed up with my life. I'm in a job I hate. I'm in either a dysfunctional or the relationship's ended, and I've got no money. And you know, I want to find a house for myself and my children, as an example. You know, what would be your starting advice to them?
Well, the whole idea of that is to understand where they actually want to be. Is to identify what their vision of life is, what their beliefs are, and where they want to go. And then let's just sort of try and find a way of getting to that point for them. I don't know what people want. All I can do is I can ask relevant questions and I can give them a guidance to how they need to be moving forward. Because everybody's different. What I think may not be what that person thinks, but I can certainly open up their minds to understand the the direction that they need to go, because everybody's got it within themselves. Everybody has. You know, it's just having somebody there to bring that guidance, that direction out. And that's what life coaching does. That's what NLP helps you with, etc. And, you know, as far as the hypnotherapy, I'll be able to tell you a bit more about that when I get a bit more knowledge on that. But the reality is we've all got it within ourselves. We've just got to be able to recognize it. And that's where I'd start, is identifying what it is that they want to achieve, where they want to go. And then looking back at how they can do that. But also, what's stopping them at the moment? What barriers are there that are stopping them making those steps and those changes that may well be needed? Because it's great saying, I want to do this, but you've got to be able to understand it takes action.
It does, and it's an interesting one because, you know, and all the stuff I've studied over the years, you've got to have a heart and mind coherence. So our minds are the greatest, you know, virtual reality machines that nature's ever invented. And people can visualize what they want to do and go, yeah, that's what I want to do, and they can see it. But if their heart isn't in it, if they can't feel that, then they're thinking that they want to do it, but they don't have the feeling they want to do it, there's a problem. And the other thing is, some people feel that they want to go and do great stuff, but they're thinking they can't do it. So they create an image in their mind with this virtual reality generator that's not going to happen and see themselves failing. Yet human beings, you know, we're a phenomenal gift. You know, we have so much universal power. Because here's the thing, you know, it's a bizarre thing. Everything that happened at the point of the Big Bang, everything was connected in one point of singularity, in one source. And I don't know if you know this, Paul, but the actual mass was about the size of a pea. This is what the astronomers and the scientists are figuring out now, that the whole universe was once contained the size of a pea, very dense, very hot. But everything was connected at that point. Then once the universe burst into being, we got space in between planets and stars and galaxies and so on and so forth. And then, you know, evolution came along as single cell amoebas, and then we developed as multiple cell organisms. But we all still go back to that single point of connectivity. So we have all the power of the universe within us. It's never been disconnected. But we're brilliant at talking ourselves out of our ability to actually achieve. And sometimes that happens in childhood. You know, children are told, you never amount to nothing, you're useless, you're a waste of time.
That stays here.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what you're going to be brilliant at, is shifting that mindset. Sorry?
That's where we need to be able to take that away, those limiting beliefs, as I think it's called, because that's what we've been indoctrinated with. Because as you rightly say, a lot of people will, you know, you'll be dealing with everyday life, and, you know, as you're growing up, and you might be that youngster who's been a bit of a hothead as they were going through life, and that person's always been told, you'll make nothing, you'll do nothing in life, you know, you'll always be this way. So that's ingrained in there, but that doesn't mean it has to be there. It can change.
Yeah, no, absolutely can change. I think you're a great vehicle for it. So how do people get in touch with you?
I'm going to be putting a new website up fairly soon, as far as that's concerned. At the moment, they can still contact me through RSS Limited, which is my company that I use for my training programs, that I do the teaching and training, conflict management and all of that. And the email for that is paul.keats@rss-training.com. Well, they call me. You know, I'm quite happy. I'm happy to give my phone number over. And it's 07756002063. And I'm happy to talk to anybody.
Well, with the power of editing, that should be underneath this video right now. Okay, so we'll get that sorted. But that's brilliant, Paul. Any last words of wisdom? Any golden nuggets from you?
Never say never, because everything changes. And we all change. And we've got that ability to change within. All you've got to do is have that vision and that mindset. Once you've got that mindset, once you've got that vision going, you can do anything. You really can.
Brilliant. Well, hey, absolutely fantastic, mate. Well, listen, thanks for joining me on this one. And anyone watching this, if you want any help, you're stuck, you don't know where to go, you want to achieve things, but you don't believe you can, or you're in your dark place of the soul right now, get in touch with Paul. You know, his email should be below, his phone number should be below. If anyone can help you, he can. because he's not only qualified and competent to do it, and I've known Paul a long time, he's experienced it and gone through that process himself. So he's, you know, he's walked the walk and he's talking the talk, as in what they all say. All right, Manny, listen, that's absolutely brilliant. Thanks for joining me, and we'll catch up soon.
Indeed. Take it easy, man.
All right, take it easy.